Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week we've been looking at the prophecies contained in the book of Daniel. Currently we're in Daniel chapter 7, focusing on the predictions about the Antichrist. And it says here in Daniel 7 verse 25, "And he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law." We focused on this in our last study of the fact the Antichrist will primarily be a blasphemer and will want to be worshipped as God. In our study today, we want to focus on these next two aspects about him, that the saints are going to be given into his hand and it'll only last for a specific period of time. And the rest of verse 25 reads this way, "Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time." So for our study today, we'll look at this persecution as well as the length of time this persecution will last. So here it says the saints shall be given into his hand. This is very clear in the scripture that the tribulation period will be a time where the believers will be persecuted, even unto death, focusing with persecution upon the nation of Israel. And in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, it describes some of this persecution. It says, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it." So during this tribulation period, which Zechariah 13 and 14 definitely is the context, two-thirds of the people are going to be cut off or they're going to die, and only one-third will actually be left. That's how devastating this persecution will be. The saints are truly going to be given over into his hands, even to the point of death. Verse 9 says, "And I will bring one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God." So one of the beauties about the tribulation period, one of the high points, is that the nation of Israel will return to the Lord, that he will bring them through the fire, and many Israelites will be saved during the tribulation period. And that's why they're going to be persecuted, because they will not worship the Antichrist as God. They're going to be true to the true God of the Bible and will be persecuted unto death. Even up to two-thirds of the nation of Israel experience this. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 is a crucial verse in relationship to the tribulation period. It reads, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble," which is a reference to Israel, "but he shall be saved out of it." So although it's going to be a time of Israel's trouble, intense trouble, it's going to be a time when Israel will be saved. Many Jews will return and receive Jesus as their Messiah during that time, but it'll be a great cost to them. Unfortunately, the Holocaust will be pale compared to what the Antichrist will want to do to the Jews that turn to the Lord during this time. This persecution is also described in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, which is, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." So here it's where women are ravished. Also, the city is going to be taken into captivity, but God's going to have that remnant of people. So intense persecution will be against the city of Jerusalem as well. Nations will gather against it to destroy it. Jesus predicted the same thing in Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10, where he says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." So Jesus predicted in the time of tribulation, many will die. This is also seen in the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 7, which reads, "And it was granted to him," speaking of the Antichrist, "to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given over every tribe, tongue, and nation." So he'll overcome the saints, persecute them to death, those that will not take the mark of the beast in the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 17, verse 6 also hints at this, which reads, "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." Another place this is seen is at the very beginning of the tribulation period in the fifth seal, as recorded in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." So during the tribulation period, many people are going to be martyred for their faith because they're going to remain faithful to the Lord God. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we see this great multitude that stands before the throne of God that's clothed with white robes and palm branches are in their hands. And in Revelation 7, verse 13, John wants to know who these people are, and here's the response. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And verse 9 gives us the detail. He says, "I looked and behold a great number which no one could number of all nations." So many martyrs, Israelites that turned to the Lord as well as Gentiles that received the Lord during the tribulation period, a number which no one could number will be martyred during the tribulation period. Another very interesting place which describes this persecution upon the Jews in the tribulation period is Revelation chapter 12. And here we have some symbols that relate to the nation of Israel and the persecution that will come upon them. It reads this way, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." And we don't have to guess at what this image is, because in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 9 and following, Joseph had a dream. And part of that dream, he saw a woman and the sun and the moon under her feet, and it had 11 stars. And Jacob, whom the 12 tribes of Israel came from, asked his son, saying, "Does that mean that me and your mom and your 11 brothers are going to bow down and worship you?" So he interpreted these symbols to represent him and his family, which ultimately the nation of Israel came from. Once again, we use the principle of let the Bible interpret the Bible. And the book of Revelation is highly symbolic, but those symbols are also found in the Old Testament. So if you study your Old Testament, the book of Revelation is going to become more clear and not such a guessing game. I would agree that if we didn't have the Old Testament as a background, a lot of these symbols would be almost impossible to understand what they mean. But as you search for these symbols in the Old Testament, and as they're interpreted there, it helps us understand what the book of Revelation means. And here we have a picture of Israel and what's going to take place during the tribulation period. "Then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne." So here we have a picture of the woman giving birth to a male child who's going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. That is a description of how Israel gave birth to the Messiah. Ultimately, Jesus was a descendant from the line of David. And the enemy, right as soon as he was born, wanted to devour the child. And we see that in the Gospel of Matthew, how Herod had all the babies that were in that territory where Jesus was to be killed, trying to bring him to death. But obviously God's protection was upon him, and this is a child which was caught up to God and to his throne. And that's the ascension where Jesus was exalted to the right hand of God, and he's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. This is clearly seen in Psalm chapter 2, which relates to the Messiah, as well as in Revelation chapter 19, this same description of him ruling all nations with a rod of iron. The same description of him ruling all nations with a rod of iron is found in Revelation 19, verse 15, which says, "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." So here we definitely have Israel giving birth to the Messiah, the one who was caught up to God, ascended to the throne, and will rule all nations with a rod of iron. Verse 6 then goes on to describe, "Then the woman," again, which is Israel, "fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Which not by coincidence just happens to be the last half of the tribulation period. And that's why Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, you need to flee out of Judea, you need to go out into the wilderness and hide and be preserved there for this last time period. And that's what Daniel mentioned as a times, times and a half a time. A time is one, a time is plural, two and a half would be a half. You add that together, that'd be a 3.5 year period. And one of the ways we help understand what a times, times, and a half a time is from Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, where it's described as 1,260 days. Now you may question, well, how do we know that 1,260 days is what Daniel means by the times, times, and a half a time? Well, it's made easy. Once again, we have the Bible interpreting the Bible. The same chapter, Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, it describes the same event, and listen to the way it's recorded. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. So we definitely see in the book of Daniel that time period where the saints are given into the hands of the Antichrist is for a 3.5-year period. That last half of the tribulation period, that's when the persecution upon the saints will primarily happen, is in that last 3.5 years. So at the 3.5-year point, the Antichrist will go into the temple, demand to be worshipped as God, and if you do not worship him as God, you'll be persecuted unto death. But during the tribulation period, God promises the nation of Israel they'll flee out into the wilderness. He'll preserve them there during that last 3.5 years. If you'd like additional references which speak of this 3.5-year period as a times, times and a half a time, or 42 months or 1,260 days, you could see Daniel chapter 4, verse 16, also verses 23 and 25 of that chapter. Then also Daniel 7, 25, chapter 12, verse 7, and chapter 12, verse 11, as well as Daniel 9, 27. Then from the book of Revelation, we have Revelation chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, as well as chapter 12, verse 6 and 14, and Revelation 13, 5. Now in Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 17, we clearly see that God will preserve the nation of Israel during this last 3.5-year period. That's what verses 13 through 17 record of Revelation 12. It says, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So God's going to preserve this remnant that will flee out in the wilderness during the last half of the tribulation period. The devil's going to be upset that he couldn't get after them, so he's going to go after all the others that keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, which will be both Jew and Gentile during the tribulation period. So here we see a clear connection of the saints being persecuted, primarily focusing on the nation of Israel. That's where this persecution and the intense tribulation will focus. It'll affect the entire world and anyone that'll follow Jesus Christ, but it'll be a direct attack upon the nation of Israel. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to preserve his people and bring them out of that tribulation period and keep them and preserve them unto his eternal kingdom. So although the Antichrist may persecute the saints, it's still going to turn out that God is victorious during the tribulation.